Happy New Year. It is. It's the church's New Year today. When the sun sunk behind the horizon last night and we began the vigil mass, we began the new year in the church. And you've all been waiting for the year to be over anyway, so in the church it comes early for us. But it begins the church's new year with this season of Advent, which that very word Advent means the coming, in which we await the coming of Christ. We await the coming of our Savior, both in Christmas and his coming in glory and his second coming. And the great symbol which you see for Advent is right here, right? The Advent wreath. The Advent wreath, like all of us, began as a pagan. You were all little pagans when you were born. But like all of us, it was baptized. So the Advent wreath, it was used initially as a winter wreath in the Germanic and Norwegian lands, where it's much like here, right? Where the days in the wintertime get very short. And there's a lot of darkness and a lot of cold. And the Germanic and Norwegian people would bring in these green plants into their homes, and they would bring light and put them into the green plants too. And the pagan people which worshipped the things of this earth would use this as a reminder that, and a hope that soon the green of the earth would come back and soon the light would come back as well. And the Christian missionaries and Christian faithful, when they came to these Germanic and Norwegian lands, pointed to these winter wreaths, especially in this time of Advent, and pointed to the higher thing that they were meant to indicate. Not just the life of this earth or the light of this world, but a higher life and a higher light. And so you'll see in the Advent wreath many of the same things. They're almost always in a circle. And this is what the Christians would explain. They would use them as a way to teach the Christian faith. They're almost always in a circle. A circle has no beginning and no end. It's in a circle to represent the love of God, which has no beginning and no end, but is eternal. What's used is different evergreens within the Advent wreaths. That even throughout the year, the evergreen never dies. It's always green. And this is meant to evoke the eternal life of Christ. That there is not a death, an eternal death that we experience, but rather an eternal life. Within the Advent wreath, you'll also find almost always little holly berries, right? Here the holly berries, they're green. They're not yet ripe. They're ripe oftentimes in Christmas, and so you'll see the holly berries in Christmas decorations. But the holly berry is meant to be this symbol of joy. But within the holly berry, their leaves are very thorny. And it's meant to represent the Christian life, which is one of both joy and sorrow together. But there are, within the Advent wreath, pine cones that are meant to remind us of the resurrection. That the pine cone, that unless it falls to the ground and dies, in a pine cone oftentimes it takes a fire, scorching the earth, for the seed of the pine cone to open. And when it looks like everything is dead, that's when they begin to grow back and there's new life. And it reminds us and represents the resurrection. And the whole wreath itself is meant to remind the people of the laurel crown. You know, with the Greek Olympics, they wouldn't give a gold medal to the winner, but rather they would give a crown on one's head made out of green and wreath. And it's meant to be a symbol to us of our great victory, our triumph of our faith. And the very last thing, which is specifically Christian, is within an Advent wreath, there's always at least the four candles. Some have a fifth, one in the middle. It's the Christ candle, which is lit during Christmas season. But you'll always see the four candles. And what those are meant to invoke are the 4,000 years that humanity waited for the coming of its Savior. Traditionally, it was the 4,000 years between the fall of Adam and Eve, between the downfall of humanity and its salvation again in Christ. And so each candle representing 1,000 years of patient waiting and watching of the people of Israel, waiting and longing for the Savior. And so as we go through Advent each week, we light a candle to represent that Christ is coming closer. 4,000 years of longing for their Savior. You hear this longing in this first reading. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. They're asking God to tear open the heavens and to come down and to be with them. This longing. And you've experienced this year, haven't you? This longing and this wearisomeness that grows in the heart. Have you looked around at the chaos and the division, and your heart longs for something? It's longing for a Savior. And that longing is one that the Advent wreath is meant to represent, and it's meant to represent the patience that God asks for the Christian to long with, to wait and to watch with. But patience is hard, isn't it? I mean, who here really likes patience or is really good at it? Clancy, no? No? None of you? Nobody likes patience. It's hard. Football season, there's this ad that comes on all the time. I think it's for T-Mobile. They're advertising their 5G network, which is super fast. 4G is fast enough. 5G goes instantly, I guess. But it has this catchy little tune to it. It says, I want it all, and I want it now. It's kind of the mantra of our age, isn't it? I want it all, and I want it right now. That it's this desire and this need for like instant gratification, which a lot of things that we have, which are incredible blessings, right? Amazon two-day delivery. You push the button, 2 days later, it's sitting at your door. It's incredible. Instant messaging. This stuff didn't exist before a decade ago. You push a couple buttons in your phone, you send it, and within milliseconds, somebody else around the world can have it on their phone. There's incredible things about it, but there's a question of what's lost in the midst of that as well, in the midst of the impatience. This desire sometimes to want to jump right into Christmas. And don't worry, I'm not going to go all Scrooge on you. My mom started playing Christmas music early when we were young, and sometimes it went in well into February. But there is the question of what can be lost in the midst of that, in not having the patience and not experiencing the longing. Something real is lost. That in this desire for instant gratification, that when we have something instantly, the joy of it goes away almost as quickly as it came. That it's a happiness which isn't very deep, but it can be very shallow. It comes quickly and it goes quickly. But what God wants to do in everything, and what God wants to do in the midst of Advent, is He wants to give you something. He wants to give you something. And it's through this waiting, this longing, that He wants to give it to you. St. Augustine asked the question once, which is one that I think a lot of us ask as well, of why does God at times seem to delay in answering our prayers? Why does He seem to ask us oftentimes to have patience and to wait?
The answer he gave is that in waiting and in longing for something, something within us is expanded. Something within us, our capacity and our ability to receive what God wants to give us, is made larger in the waiting. That as we long for something, our hope and our desire for it grows, so that when God gives it to us, we're able to receive more of it. One of the both happiest and saddest days when I was a little kid was the day that I found where my mom and dad hid the gifts that they were going to give us at Christmas. Not the ones that Santa gave, the ones that they were going to give us. It was happy because in that day I was like, this is incredible. And because of all the kids, they even had to put whose name was going to be on each one. It was amazing. It was happy when I was a little kid, but in reality it was one of the saddest days. Because even a little kid understands when they look at that the first week of December and then when Christmas comes, it's like, oh, that's nice. Even on something very basic, it's the longing and the waiting that increases our capacity for joy. I'll leave you just with this image, also from childhood. It came back to me when I was driving back from Thanksgiving, going by our farm. I remember when I was a little boy, maybe 3-4 years old, and when mom and dad would go to Bismarck, and I had to have those older brothers watch me. There were times when they were away until what seemed to be very late, and I would take a chair and I would push it up to the kitchen window, and I would stand on that chair looking out from the window, looking out at the gravel road, which stretched and you could see a mile of the gravel road coming. And there weren't many cars on that road, and so you knew, I knew that when I saw the light from the distance coming along that road, I knew that mom and dad were coming. And as it grew brighter and brighter, I grew more and more excited. This is an image of what Advent is meant to be within us. That we're sitting and we're waiting and we're longing. We can't wait for Jesus to come. But we're waiting and we're watching for him. And as the light grows each week, so does the joy and excitement within our hearts. So that when he arrives, the happiness and the joy of Christmas might be much deeper than we could ever give to ourselves. It's the waiting that produces the great joy. And so I leave you just with this question, to ask the Lord, what are you wanting to give me this Advent? Ask him that question. He wants to give you something. Lord, what are you wanting to give me this Advent? Ask him. Then wait and watch.